The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
What occurred to me to explore this evening with you is being aware of thoughts, exploring the possibility of knowing thinking rather than being lost in thinking. I think sometimes in, we explore meditation, and even in the guided meditation that I did this evening, I suggested that sometimes thoughts can be a pull out of the present moment. They habitually can be a pull out of the present moment. I think our relationship with thinking, our habitual relationship with thinking, is very much to get involved in it and to lose touch with what's actually happening here and now. And so we kind of have that association often with thinking, that when thoughts start happening, we get involved in them and we lose touch with what's happening here and now. And so often in our early exploration of meditation, we do explore letting go of thoughts and being present for what's actually happening right now. And yet thoughts are something that happen right now. They are phenomena that happen in our minds. They happen right now. In meditation, we often have a kind of a contentious relationship with them, somehow thinking that if I'm meditating properly, then that means I shouldn't have thoughts. That's a, I would say it's the direction that a certain form of meditation practice heads. If we're practicing a kind of a concentration practice where we're settling the mind, perhaps just on the breath and or some other experience, over time, over a long stretch of time in my experience, the thoughts begin to diminish and may, for stretches of time, disappear. But for mindfulness practice, the disappearance of thought and the steadiness on one object like that isn't particularly the aim of the meditation practice. The aim of the meditation practice with mindfulness practice is to wake up to what's happening in the present moment. That may be body sensations, it might be emotions, it might be sounds, it might be sights, and it might be thoughts. Thoughts are a very natural function of the mind. Our mind is designed to think. It's a very useful function of our minds to navigate our world, to know what's going on around us, to communicate. Without thoughts, without language, it'd be very hard to have relationships. You know, we depend on thoughts to relate to each other. And yet, if we don't understand that thoughts are a phenomenon, that thoughts are simply something that happen in our minds. They relate to what's happening outside of us, perhaps, or they relate to what's happening inside of us. But so often what happens for us with thoughts is that we kind of absorb into them and believe their story. It's like we take birth in a reality when thoughts come along, and we're living from that perspective or from that world that the thoughts have created. An example of this. It was one of the times that it got so clear to me just how easy it is for us to be born in this world of thoughts. I remembered this story the other day. I told it the other morning. So at one point, I had been in a relationship for a long time, about 10 years, and so a lot of, you know, thoughts about that relationship came up for years after I was in that relationship. But at a certain point, having worked through a lot of the anger, the frustration, the resentment, those thoughts no longer had such a charge. And so you know, initially in that exploration, those thoughts would come up and I would come out of those thoughts and I'd be tortured by anger or resentment and just feeling all of the charge of the resentment about the breakup and the relationship the way it ended. And so after a period of time, I had worked through a lot of that emotion, and these thoughts would arise without particularly having much charge. And one day I was walking down the street and woke up realizing that I had been thinking about being in relationship with that person. And in the coming out of it, I realized that while I had been thinking about it, my mind actually believed that I was back in relationship with that person. And when I woke up out of it, you know, when I came out of that reverie, that world that the mind had created in thought, when I came out of that, there was some confusion. It's like, what's going on? I mean, I haven't been in relationship with that person for 2 years. I mean, what? No, I'm not in relationship with that person. But so there was this contrast as I woke up and seeing how the mind had fully believed its story, its creation. This kind of thing, I think, happens to us a lot. If I look back to, you know, right after that breakup happened, often I think what would happen was that story, I would be born into the story, and when I would come out of the story of believing I was back in that relationship, the world of, oh, I'm not in that relationship came flooding in, and all the emotions came flooding in with it. So it wasn't so clear to me that, you know, it's like all of the emotions took over at that point. So it wasn't so clear to me just how I had been living in this unreal world as those thoughts came up. So this kind of thing where we have a world of thought, some kind of series of thoughts that arise, and we take birth in that world or believe that world or are living in that world, I think that happens to us a lot. And we are unaware that it's happening so much. I mean, I think before I began meditating, I would go in and out of that world seamlessly, believing that my thoughts were a reality. And so as I began meditating and began to see, oh, actually, these thoughts are just thoughts. They're related to what's happening sometimes. Sometimes they're not at all related to what's happening, as that story shows. Sometimes they're just, you know, things of the past or thoughts about the future, just stories about what we hope to happen or fear will happen or what might have happened. And we create this reality in which we are unaware that we are believing something that is a complete construct of our minds. So beginning to be aware both of the power of thoughts and that we can become aware of thoughts in the present moment begins to weaken this delusive power that thoughts have over us. I'm not saying that we shouldn't be thinking at all. I mean, as I said, we have to use thoughts to navigate our world. And yet, if we are unaware of thoughts, if we are in that state of mind where we get lost in thoughts and are unaware that it's thinking happening and that we're being born into a constructed reality in our minds, then what's happening there is that our subconscious reactions or our habits or our patterns are kind of taking charge because we're not consciously aware of what's going on. So when we're not aware of thoughts as thoughts in the present moment, essentially our habits, our patterns, our familiar way of engaging will tend to be what operates. And often that's related to reactivity or fear or confusion or wanting, as opposed to a little bit more balanced response of, ah, this is what's happening. Can I meet this with some sense of ease or some sense of wisdom? What's appropriate to to happen here. So as we begin to recognize thoughts as thoughts, as we can begin to have that capacity to know, oh, thought is happening in our mind, we can start to not be pulled under by thoughts and instead have some capacity to choose or to at least knowing that a thought is a thought, we can recognize, is this thought a useful thought to follow through on? Is this thought related to reality? We can have that check out, you know, is this thought even related to reality or is it just a complete fantasy? And then learn perhaps more skillful ways of meeting reality. So beginning to become aware of thoughts, this is part of what I'd like to explore today. What does it mean? How can we do this? We can do this both in our meditation practice and in daily life. It's useful. It's very useful to explore it in meditation practice to begin to get familiar with what it means to be aware of thoughts in meditation practice, because then that can carry some into our daily life. It's somewhat harder to be aware of thoughts in daily life because we're often engaged in the activities that the thoughts are pointing to or talking about, so that tends to be a little harder to separate the content from knowing that you're thinking. But this is possible, and so just to explore this a little bit, one of the key things that we need to begin to recognize is that there's a difference between being lost in thought, between being absorbed or following the story or engaged in the train of thought. I think we all kind of have a sense of what that's like. There's a difference between that and between knowing that there's thinking happening right now. What does it mean to wake up to, oh, thinking is happening right now? We get a taste of this in that moment, often in meditation, when our minds wander. We wake up, we've decided we're going to pay attention to the breath, and we wake up, pay attention to 2, 3, maybe as many as 5 breaths, and then we get lost in thought. And we wake up at some point. We become mindful, and often what we become mindful in that moment of, the first thing we notice is, oh, I've lost track of the breath, or we notice that we're thinking a little bit. So in that moment, if you're open to it, rather than kind of having the idea of, oh, bad thought, you know, I shouldn't be thinking, I should be paying attention to the breath, if instead of having that kind of relationship to thought in that moment, if you could kind of be curious, oh, wow, this is what it means to be aware that I'm thinking. So take a moment to actually recognize that when the mindfulness returns. Oh, this is what it means to be aware of thinking. As we begin to get a difference, notice the difference between the being lost in thought and being aware of thinking. This is the beginning. This is the beginning of having some choice about how we engage with our thoughts, as opposed to just being kind of run by our thoughts. I think when we're not aware of our thoughts, very often our thoughts are kind of running the show. Our emotions and our thoughts are running the show, if we are not consciously aware of them. And when we become consciously aware of them, they still may be running the show, but at least we're aware that this is what's going on, and we may be able to steer the ship a little bit, change the direction of our choices. So in meditation, I've seen a couple different kinds of thinking, and probably you've experienced both of these. Sometimes in meditation, when you wake up into thinking, there's a real active quality to it. It's like your mind has latched onto some story of the past or some idea about the future, and it's kind of charged with it. And it's like, oh, that thing, I need to think about that, or I need to plan that, or I need to figure out how to respond to that person who sent me that email yesterday. So there's kind of an active quality to the thinking sometimes when we wake up in meditation. And sometimes there's a more drifty quality when we wake up. It's like kind of almost dreamy, or just the mind kind of floating, but not really present, just kind of floating, thinking about, oh, this is nice. I can just rest right now, or, you know, so just kind of not really present, but also not like charging out into some kind of plan or emotional content. And so I want to talk about those two separately, because they're kind of different in terms of how we can begin to get familiar with exploring, being aware of them. So with the active kind of thinking, when we've kind of charged out of the present moment, leapt on that train that's going to the future or taking us to the past, often it's helpful as a first step, you know, kind of just to recognize, okay, so there's this charging quality of the mind. And often there's a kind of a little bit of content there that's powerful for us. It's either planning or remembering or judging or fantasizing, arguing, something like that. And sometimes we can just take a little step back from the story by acknowledging, okay, yep, judging is happening right now, or planning is happening right now. So just making that little acknowledgement in your mind, okay, this is the kind of thinking that's happening when there's a lot of charge to the thinking. It does a couple things for us. It does, again, it takes us a step back from the full-blown content of the thoughts. It lets us recognize, okay, yep, this is thinking that's happening right now. And it also helps us start to recognize, if you do this kind of practice regularly, of acknowledging the type of thinking that you're having, you might begin to recognize that there's certain kinds of thinking that are really familiar. You know, they tend to be what your mind goes to. Some people tend to be planners. Other people tend to be rehashers. Other people tend to be controllers. So just kind of beginning to notice what habits your mind has. Often those habits are related to some emotions. And we can, another tool for us in exploring thoughts is to, when there's a kind of a charge out of the present moment like that, check in, is there some kind of emotion that's related to those thoughts? So sometimes planning comes with anxiety, or rehashing comes with resentment, or arguing in the mind with somebody comes with anger or frustration. So if you can actually recognize, okay, here's this kind of thought, arguing is happening, and frustration, that's what I'm feeling right now. If you can notice the emotion that's connected with a thought, there's a very powerful dynamic between thoughts and emotions, that emotions can trigger thoughts, and so thoughts can trigger emotions too. And so perhaps something like this has happened. A thought, you're meditating, you know, you're sitting there, you're paying attention to the breath, and a memory arises in your mind. You remember something that happened yesterday at work. And that's something that you remember, that image. You know, that first moment of that remembering isn't coming because you have an emotional charge. It's just coming because the mind is kind of, you know, it does that. Minds do that. They remember things. We are, you know, trying to be here with the present moment, but the mind will go off and remember things. Again, this very natural function of the mind to think. Much as the eye sees, the ear hears, the mind thinks. So, you know, it's a very natural process. We're paying attention to the breath and this thought arises. If we don't notice that, if we don't recognize, oh, that thought has arisen, What often happens, and I think you might recognize this kind of thing, what often happens is that we start thinking more about that thought. We remember the situation and get involved in our minds. That world gets created that I described a few minutes ago. We take birth into that world, and then our emotions start to get engaged. We had this conversation with this person at work yesterday, and they didn't agree with us, and we got frustrated with them yesterday. And lo and behold, what happens right now is that that memory creates frustration right now. So this is a really powerful process in our minds. This happens a lot. And so thoughts can arise very naturally and create emotions. And then emotions having arisen, or if we are experiencing an emotion, you know, we remember that situation, the frustration, and then that frustration starts to trigger thoughts. Well, that person shouldn't have said that thing, and I'm going to tell them what I think of them tomorrow. And we work ourselves up. And perhaps that frustration leads to thoughts which turn in our mind and create anger in the present moment. So this loop, this dynamic between thoughts and emotions is very powerful. So if we can begin to recognize the conditioning cause and effect relationship between thoughts and emotions, we can begin to break into that runaway train and just recognize, okay, right now what's happening in the present moment, right, I'm not having that argument with the friend right now, but what's happening right now is that, yeah, frustration's been born. That thought, there was that taking birth into that world, and frustration arose because the mind kind of believed that world. And so right now, frustration is what's happening. We might just connect with that. Okay, frustration's happening. Can I know that? Knowing how it impacts the body. Tightening in the throat, or aching in the chest, or tightening of the muscles, just noticing how it impacts the body. At that moment, if we can contact with mindfulness the emotion that was related to that world of thought, often the thought can begin to weaken a little bit. Sometimes what happens with emotions, this is something that seems to, especially when the emotions kind of get rolling, the thought-emotion cycle gets rolling, sometimes the thoughts are kind of the emotion's way of talking to us. And so sometimes what's happening when there's a strong emotion is that it's producing thoughts kind of to express the emotion. And if the emotion gets met with mindfulness, it's almost like the system goes, oh yeah, that's what I wanted. I wanted to be seen. I wanted to have awareness of this anger right now. You know, to be aware that it's happening. And so sometimes we can allow the mindfulness to be that witness for an emotion. We don't have to have a contentious relationship with our emotions. It takes some practice to begin to get comfortable with being mindful of emotions. But maybe even just hearing that, you know, we don't have to become this completely calm being in meditation. You know, that's actually not, for me, that's not a lot of what goes on. A lot of what goes on is a very dynamic process of experiencing flows of emotions and body sensations, and opening to that. Not needing to have some idea of meditating means some perfectly calm, neutral space, but rather where mindfulness meditation means a space that can allow us to be fully present for life. And that may include our emotional life, does include our emotional life when our emotions are present. So being aware of thoughts can help put us in touch with emotions. Being aware of emotions can help us to not have a runaway train of thoughts, which the thought-emotion-thought cycle tends to be like a spiral. It's almost like the thoughts are the gas pedal for the emotions. If we continue to think those thoughts, it's like we're just putting the foot on the floor of the gas pedal, just really revving it up. And if we can take our foot off the gas pedal, you know, just use that analogy. If we use the analogy of a car, you know, a strong emotional response is kind of like the car going, you know, 65, 100 miles an hour down the road. And if we become aware of the thoughts that are fueling that, you know, we can maybe just become aware of the emotion itself. It's kind of like taking the foot off the gas pedal, maybe putting the car into neutral. The car doesn't stop right away. But it's also not going to continue to zoom at 100 miles an hour. It will slow down. And in that slowing process, we can be aware of it. We can be aware of the experience of that emotion. And see, too, as it slows down, the pull back to thinking. It's like, you know, if you can begin to be aware of that, it's like, okay, feeling that frustration. Oh, they shouldn't have done that. Okay, yep, thinking. Okay, feeling that. Oh, I really wish they hadn't. Oh, thinking. Okay. So as it slows down, you may be able to catch the thoughts that happen and just notice them in favor of being present here and now. So the active kind of thinking this way often is related to some emotional content. There's something, you know, emotional happening as our minds kind of charge out of the present moment. The drifting kind of thinking in meditation, I'll just talk for a little while around that, and then I'll move to a little bit of thoughts in daily life. The drifting kind of thinking happens more when, you know, often for me, this kind of drifting kind of thinking happens in images. I'm sitting in meditation, and suddenly I start seeing images of people I don't know. I start seeing images of landscapes or, you know, just strange, like, non sequitur images. It's all like dream-like images appearing or something. I think this happens partly because as we settle in meditation, the mind relaxes a little bit. And it's like there's a little bit of concentration happening, a little bit of settling happening. And yet not quite enough energy to keep us present, staying connected with the breath or with just what's happening in the body and the experiences of the present moment. So there's a little bit of low energy. But because the mind is settled, it's like some of the structures or layers of how we tend to orient the mind or think about things, those have loosened. And kind of deeper layers of images or creativity can arise at this point. So, you know, just like the mind will just kind of float or drift as the, you know, the kind of structure of the pressure of our thinking mind is released a little bit. And this can result in images. It can result in songs, you know. So it's kind of an area of... it's actually quite pleasant most of the time. You know, sometimes when we wake up, when our mind is charged out into thought, often that is not pleasant. I mean, when we wake up, we're tight, we're contracted, we're bought into that story. It's confusion, it's anxiety, it's planning, it's remembering. So it's got some tension to it often when we're charged in that active kind of thinking. In the drifting kind of thinking, I often find the experience when I wake up in that moment is pleasant. It feels good. It's relaxed. The mind has kind of let go of its usual way of being. And it's kind of like, ah, oh, that feels good. You know, she finally stopped for a little while. You know, okay. So that kind of settling, so that drifting kind of thinking often feels pleasant. And so that's a good thing to recognize when you come back. If there's a kind of a pleasant quality or tone in the mind, let yourself take that in. It's like, oh, okay, so there's a pleasantness to the mind, pleasantness to the experience. Sometimes as the mind drifts like that, it's actually finding its way to a little bit of settling. And sometimes I find settles, even if I'm not trying to settle it, as the mind lets go, it can sometimes navigate its way to a little more ease or peace. And so to have the idea that whenever we wake up in thought, that it's always a problem, we might miss that actually the mind is settled a little bit more. I find this happens a lot, actually, as there's a little bit of settling in the mind, that the wandering actually adds a little bit of more settling. And so if I'm aware when I wake up, it's like, oh, actually there's a little more calmness here right now. If I have the relationship in that moment, oh, I'm thinking bad, let me come back to the breath, I'll miss entirely that pleasantness and that little bit of settling that happened. So beginning to recognize, for me at least, beginning to recognize the modality in which thinking happens there is one of the most powerful ways to connect with those thoughts. By modality, I mean our thoughts happening as images, our thoughts happening as if you're talking to yourself, our thoughts happening as if somebody else is talking to you. Sometimes it can sound like a radio is playing in your mind with a generic announcer's voice. Sometimes it's like somebody else is speaking to you. So just noticing when there's not a lot of content. I mean, you know, sometimes the images, I can't remember what it was, but yesterday or a couple days ago I was in that space and it's just these bizarre images would appear. You know, trying to name the content of those bizarre images is like airplane with wings, you know, like real wings, you know. It just doesn't make much sense to try to label the content there or to acknowledge the content. But it can be helpful to recognize, image. The mind has been like so seeing almost, you know, acknowledging that thoughts often happen in some modality similar to our senses. You know, they'll happen as if we're seeing something or as if we're hearing something, sometimes even as if we're touching or feeling something. And so just noticing, okay, it's as if I'm seeing something. So it's like seeing is happening right now. That's a way to acknowledge the thought, not needing to know at all what the content is. You know, you don't need to do that. But it begins to help kind of connect you. Okay, I'm thinking. Thinking is happening in that moment. So when my mind gets into that drifty space, rather than trying to stop the thinking, what I often will do is acknowledge, oh, okay, images. Images are happening right now. And if I can be aware of the images, I'm in the present moment. If I can know they are images happening right now, as opposed to somehow like getting lost in the image and creating something out of the image. You know, just, oh, these are images. It can sometimes just feel like a slideshow is happening of images. So the working with drifting thoughts I find helpful to connect with the modality of how the thoughts happen. In daily life, you know, so often in daily life, I think as we start to see in our meditation that we can notice the difference between being engaged or absorbed in the thoughts or, you know, following the narration of the thought and recognizing, oh, this is a thought happening right now. As we notice that in meditation, we start to see how much of our reality, like as we wake up, like that time I described of waking up believing I was in relationship again, you know, we see how much of our reality is created by the world of our thoughts. That's a really important lesson. We can see that much more easily in meditation because, you know, here we are sitting in meditation and we wake up into a thought of having a conversation. It's like, oh, right, I'm not having that conversation right now. That's not what's really happening in this moment. What's happening is there's a thought arising and emotional responses are arising based on that thought. That's what's happening right now. Those thoughts that arise have an impact right now, and the emotion is created right now. So we see that process in meditation, and we begin to have a sense of just how strong and powerful our thoughts are to create a reality. And so we begin in our daily lives to have a great deal of respect for the fact that our thoughts offer a perspective on reality. And so as we're navigating the world, as we are, you know, talking to people and sharing realities with people, we begin to recognize that, well, my reality, what I'm thinking here is true in this moment. And that's a reality that is true for me in this moment. But does it actually represent the reality from somebody else's perspective? Probably not. And so we begin to recognize that when we are engaged in relationship, when we're engaged with other people, we're engaged in even just, you know, the relationship of driving down the road. You know, our reality is a good deal of our reality is constructed by our thoughts and by our emotions. And if we can begin to recognize that, you know, this is, I think, a big area where conflict, we can learn to navigate some conflict with people. As we begin to acknowledge and to recognize my reality, this is the truth according to this being, but I am aware that how powerful thoughts are in terms of shaping reality from being in meditation and seeing that. And so can I have some sense of respect for the possibility that this particular reality may not be the same as somebody else's reality. You know, that there's certain aspects of reality we agree on, but the emotional relationship to reality, very, very different. And that emotional relationship to reality is often expressed in our thoughts and our beliefs and our views. And so sometimes in exploring thoughts in daily life, it's helpful, first of all, to recognize, okay, these are thoughts. I need these thoughts to navigate. I mean, one of the great things about becoming aware that we can be aware of thoughts in meditation is that we recognize that it is possible in our daily lives to also be aware of thoughts. It's not off limits. You know, if we believe that it's not possible to be aware of thoughts in our meditation, it's certainly not going to be possible in our daily lives. But it is possible to be aware of our thoughts. And so noticing when we are engaged in the world, one of my teachers suggests recognizing or just kind of tracking and being aware while you're engaged with the content of what's going on out there, like you're having a conversation with somebody about a project that you're working on together and you have very different views about how that should go. You know, so just being aware that okay, that's the content. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about this project. And so, you know, half of your attention, or maybe more than half of your attention, on the content of what's happening. But then also be aware of how it impacts you to be having that conversation. It's like, okay, you're having this conversation, and then, poof, you come up against a place where you disagree. There's a tension, there's a frustration immediately. Can you know that? Can you be aware that that's happening? That awareness begins to give you a little bit of, I mean, if you're not aware of that, if you're not aware of that reaction, it could build into anger and then create a response that might not be so helpful. So to be aware of that, kind of a back and forth, knowing what you're engaged in, what your thoughts about it are, and how you are with that. It's kind of a broad kind of awareness that takes in not only what's happening, but just basically knows, how are you? How are you? Just in a very simple way. Are you at ease? Are you tense? Are you agitated or at ease? Can you even know that simple difference between when you're engaged in something? A great place to practice with this in daily life is around thoughts that you take in through reading and thoughts that you put out through writing. These are slowed down forms of thinking and receiving thoughts in a way. You know, when you're reading, you're receiving the content of somebody else's mind. You're receiving somebody else's thoughts. Only you've got a little bit of choice about how quickly it comes at you. So, you know, you can slow down a little bit and you know, say, okay, I'm reading these words. How does it land? You know, you're reading an article in the newspaper, hearing some of the things that are happening, and oh, that hurts to hear that. That's painful to hear that. Not pushing it away, but opening to it. And so in the reading, we can begin to get a sense of this capacity that we have to take in someone else's thoughts and be aware of how we are with that content. And while writing, it's like we're producing the thoughts. So it's like our thoughts, our thinking, is going out to somebody else. And again, while we're writing an email or writing a text, some people are very fast at texting. I'm not so fast. But hopefully it's at least slower than speech. And so there's a possibility of recognizing, okay, as I'm texting this or as I'm typing this, how do I feel? I will regularly, as I'm typing something, feel this, you know, little bit of frustration or disappointment or, you know, and it'll come out in a word or two that have a little bit of a skew to them. And feeling that, you know, as I'm typing, if I can feel that, I go back, I stop, and I read it again and think, oh, how would that land? You know, how might that somebody else respond to those words? And then, because it's writing, I have a chance to revise it. So in practicing with reading and writing, we get a little bit of skill with this possibility of knowing how other people's words impact us and being aware of that while we're taking in content, knowing how our own thoughts impact us, you know, how we're what the motivation is sometimes, what's the motivation for a particular set of words, you know, just the little spin to how we're putting the words on the screen. So if we feel that, if we feel that contraction or we feel that frustration, maybe I don't want that person on the other end to have to feel that frustration. Can I revise that? Or, you know, there are definitely times where we need to, you know, communicate something that's going to be painful to somebody. But can we do it in a compassionate way, you know, as opposed to a harsh way? So, you know, it's not always that what we put out there is going to be welcome on the other end, but can we be aware that it may be hard to receive and put it out as compassionately as we can? I could say a lot more, but I'll stop for a moment. If there's any questions, thoughts, comments about what I've said. Questions perhaps about how you might explore this even in, either in sitting or in daily life, or situations that you've come across where you found it difficult, anything that
At some point while you were talking, I got this image of this experience that's been happening for me around thoughts related to anger. There's just been like a lot of anger coming up and watching the thoughts. And it almost feels like the image that I got in my head is they move so fast and they pull so hard that there's just this like, there's this distance really quickly between me and the thought and like having any kind of awareness.
Yeah.
And so as it's leaving, I can see it, but it already has this really strong momentum, like a horse that's bolting.
Yes.
And I feel like kind of frustrated about it, or powerless, or just like I have to just like completely cut it off in order to have any kind of skillful response to it.
Yeah.
So I guess I'm kind of wondering what my options might be, or other ways to navigate or see that kind of experience.
So a question or two here. Does this happen when you're alone and you're exploring it by yourself, or does this kind of bolting happen when you're actively in conversation, and or does it happen both times?
It probably happens both times. It's easier to see when I'm alone.
Yes.
And I'm just like thinking or responding in my head to something.
Yeah. So, you know, in the situation with somebody, you know, we do the best we can. And sometimes cutting it off and having that kind of, no, I'm not going to go there, can be the most compassionate response for ourselves and for the other person. When you're alone, if it's bolting, if you can, I mean, it's like, play with this. I'm not sure how this will be. But sometimes, you know, that kind of cutting off when we're alone, it's almost like we're not honoring the momentum or the movement of some of an emotion. And sometimes if we can just like, it's almost like vomiting, you know, it's like... It's got a lot of energy, and it like really wants to come out. And if you like, you know, try to not vomit, it's not pretty. And so, you know, if it wants to come out, you know, it's like sometimes, like with vomiting, it's like just let go and be there for it. It doesn't feel very good. But at the same time, it's kind of what the body wants to do, is to get it out. And sometimes that's the way it is with emotions too. And so if you're in that situation and you're alone and you're not like actively getting ready to say something or do something that would hurt either yourself or another, then playing with the possibility of like, it's almost like, for me, it almost like feels like leaping on the back of a wild horse. You know, it's like that anger, it's like it's going, and can I jump on the back of that horse and be there with it while it does its thing? And, you know, sometimes I find that leaping on the back of that wild horse, the wild horse rides for a while, but there I am with it, and it's like, yeah, wow, ooh, this hurts, ooh, that's, wow. You know, if you can be with it for a while and not get back lost in the thoughts about it, then that can be very skillful, actually. If you find when you leap on the back of that wild horse that the thoughts come back in and it just like, it's like you get, you know, five more horses running and they're like, it's getting even worse and worse. That might be a time to say, not to say stop bad, but kind of to say, ooh, wow, okay, that's a little more potent than I can deal with right now. I can't ride five horses at once. I'm going to like, you know, let you guys run off into the pasture and I'm going to like put my attention someplace else for a little while. So just more like changing the channel as opposed to trying to stop the momentum of those horses or that momentum of that anger. It's like, whew, okay, you know, you can run out in that pasture, but I'm going to like put my attention on my feet right now and just try to be here. So sometimes that's very skillful. I call that the not now approach. It's like, okay, yeah, I can't be with you right now. I'm not now. I sometimes have, with anger in particular, I mean, very much with anger, I had very similar, with a particular situation, in fact, this relationship situation, you know, waking up into the anger around that over and over and over again. And at some point realizing, yeah, when I try to be present for that, when I try to leap on that horse and just be with that anger, I find myself digging myself deeper into a trench. And that's not so helpful. And so I at one point just like made a bargain with my anger. It's like, yeah, I see you. I see you actually want me to pay attention, but I can't do that right now. I'm not strong enough. But I will pay attention to you when I'm stronger. Right now, you can do your thing. You can sit in the room with me. You can run in the pasture. But I'm going to put my attention on my feet right now. So it was a very gentle kind of acknowledgement and honoring of that power of that emotion so that it's not like cutting it off. So there's something in there that really wants to be expressed. And so sometimes when we're alone, let it rip. And, you know, see if you can be with it as best you can. I found that to be very healing at times to do that. So those are just a few thoughts about that. There's about 30 seconds left. So let's just sit for a moment. And just see in this time, rather than having the idea of blocking thoughts, just see if you can know. Every time a thought comes up, just, oh, there's a thought. Maybe even count them for the next 30 seconds. And noticing too, are they images? Are they as if you're talking to yourself or someone else is talking to you? Thank you for your attention.